You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 132 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is November 15th, 2017, from Studio 6 in Denver, Colorado. I am Kick Tripod. With me, of course, is the crew, the whole crew, and nothing but the crew. what are you holding up, Ray?
My shirt.
It's your shirt?
It says help.
It says help. What is that?
The shirt.
Like, where did you get that shirt?
I don't know.
You just found it? You didn't paint it yourself? Like the beaver with pom-poms back there? Or whatever it is?
I mean, I might have.
Cheerleading beaver.
The cheerleading beaver. Well, hey guys, welcome to episode 132. Let's go through, do the intros really quick. First from Kansas City, the one and only J.R. Cook. Hey J.R., it's been a while, man.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks. BlizzCon got in the way, and we did things at BlizzCon, and it was a good time, and we got some announcements that I know Danny already talked about, but we're going to talk about them again.
Yeah, we are, indeed. It's really weird, J.R. I would say I saw you the least out of just about anybody I can think of. I think we got to like do a quick hug at the media room or something, and that was it.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I had some stomach issues during the evenings. I can tell you that.
Food trucks will do it to you, man.
Those food trucks. So I did not go and party with the rest of you.
Yeah, dude, so I partied
that's
hard,
probably
man.
Why. And then during the show, I'm just too busy.
Yeah. Well, let's jump over to Nashua, New Hampshire, with our resident wild expert, Danny Donuts. Hey, Danny.
Heyo, John. Hey, it's nice to have you all back.
Feels good, man. Way to hold down the fort last week. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Might get rid of you guys and make it a permanent one-man show.
I was just about to call you my protege.
I'll come to your house.
Yeah. Well, hey, man. I mean, how's your week been going?
Really good. Yeah, I've had a good time. I can get to this later, but we had a little bit of a wild open that we put together. So that's pretty much what I've been doing this week.
Awesome. Let's jump last but not least the I don't know. It's Racy. Hey Ray.
What?
Hi.
What's up, John? How you doing, bud?
Doing all right, man. How are you?
I am actually doing a lot better than I thought I would for post BlizzCon. Usually I get some type of con sickness, but I actually didn't really get sick much at all. I kind of paced myself pretty well. As you could probably tell, considering I missed like half of the parties, which I felt a little bit bad about, but in the long run, I think it pays off in the end for me personally.
Yeah, we got to hang out a little bit, though. That was fun. We got to hang out at the Blizzard community party.
And that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that a lot.
Those May snowballs, man. I tell you, those are out of this world. They were so good. I had like 12.
I mean, I just enjoyed walking around. Like, even the food was good. They had this thing called Beef Wellington. Dude, that sounds like something
that's
you would
Gordon
pay
Ramsay.
A lot of money for.
Yeah, that's Gordon Ramsay stuff right there. Yeah.
Like, that stuff was classy.
Dang.
Like, I felt like lifting up my pinky when I was eating it.
I didn't get to eat anything at the Blizzard party, but we went to IHOP after. That's right across the street.
You're
degenerate. And I had... what was it like creme brulee French toast or something like that is what they called it. Or I don't know. It was really good.
That's where all the drunks go after parties. They go to IHOP or Denny's at 2 a.m.
I mean, where else are you going to go at 2 a.m.?
You gotta go to Chicken and Waffle Shack. Chicken and Waffle Shack was where we went.
Roscoe's is always way too packed. There's no way you're getting into Roscoe's at 2 in the morning.
Well, anyways, it's good to see you guys. We've got a ton of information to get through this week, so we might as well just go ahead and jump right into it, and let's go into, well, the big news. Maybe. Okay. Here we go. Let's try this again. You know they can go. Yes, that's right. We've got a brand new expansion announcement. Kobolds and Catacombs. You probably heard it a little bit last week with Danny. But we got to get the Well-Met crew's take on this whole thing. So Hearthstone announced a new expansion, and that was it, right? And info with that expansion, but like the new expansion, and it falls under, I would say there's two different things. Obviously, we're going to be getting new cards. That goes without saying. 135 new cards. The deluge of card reveals are going to start on November 20th. So about 2 days before our next episode, we'll start seeing these cards rolling in, and we'll be doing a lot of card reviews. So we got that. But the second thing, and probably the biggest thing, is something called a dungeon run. JR, you are way too excited about this. So anybody else on the show who's going to talk about this isn't going to do it justice. Tell us about the dungeon run, what you think about it. Well, actually, you know what? Let's not even go there. Let's talk about the BlizzCon reveal for a second. I will say that the choose your own adventure thing that they did was by far, I think, the most creative of all the keynotes that year.
I mean, it was also 100% scripted, but
do you think there were alternate cards, or do you think that they were only going to show those cards?
There weren't. The reason for that is because when we got the press kit, which a physical USB drive that was already made beforehand, had all the cards that were already revealed during that, so they would have revealed those cards no matter what.
Dang it, you ruined it for me, JR.
I ruined the illusion. I'm
Boo!
Sorry.
Boo! Boo! All right.
We would have ended up with the same cards no matter what, but it was still really fun. Cool. It was really
really fun to go through the whole BlizzCon. Decided to just go through the fire and just like why would you choose that door? I always took the logical door, but that's just me. What'd you think though?
You
I mean,
straight into the fire. D&D, go for broke,
go for danger. What did you think though about Ben Brode's keynote? What did you think about Hearthstone having things on the different stage?
I didn't like the way that they planned out the stages. I felt like Hearthstone area was pretty barren for the most part. Like throughout the whole convention, it felt like the Hearthstone area just had no importance to the entirety of BlizzCon. Like it just felt less important to me, and that made it sad because it was off, not in any of the main halls. It was just kind of off to the side in like a different building. Not really a different. Was it a different building? It might have been a different building.
Nope, same building, same hall.
Just it was just way off to the side. It was like upstairs and like in a corner.
It was so they set up like long picnic tables. Have you ever been to like Disney World and you go to one of those magical restaurants and you find out it's just a glorified cafeteria? That's kind of how the Hearthstone area felt. Now, to be fair, compared to other years, Hearthstone really kind of took a back seat. We didn't have a world championship this year. We, you know, just kind of had a four funsies 3v3v3v3 tournament. And, you know, that was about it. When you're comparing that to the Overwatch World Cup, I know StarCraft had huge things going on. People are really into the World of Warcraft Mythic Dungeon thing. And people just love. One thing I learned about BlizzCon is even if Overwatch and Hearthstone and Diablo totally overshadow World of Warcraft in the number of players, there's still always going to be a overly large representative population of WoW players. They're just, for some reason, WoW players tend to want to go to BlizzCon the most out of every other IP.
Because they're
it's their the only thing.
Social. It's not because that. It's because they're the most social because they have guildmates that they played with for years, and they've built those relationships over a very long period of time.
Well, that's like their only event, right?
No other game really has that at Blizzard.
I think that the game also goes and promotes a little bit more community than other games. WoW. I mean, like, I mean, with Hearthstone, what? You in the client or whatever, you're only able to friend people and you really can't hold, like, group conversations in the game.
Well, there's also a lot of other opportunities to go see your friends in Hearthstone and other games, whereas with World of Warcraft, BlizzCon's, like, that's their thing. Like, that is... Yeah. And that is, BlizzCon's also been around for so long. Like, BlizzCon existed before Hearthstone or Overwatch were even...
Yeah, 11 years, right? Last year was 10.
Even Diablo 3.
Which is like getting
history.
I remember when Diablo was a new game. It's like, what, 6 years now? 2011?
2012.
Yeah. 5 years.
It was announced in 2008. I was there in Paris.
Yeah, it's one thing we didn't get at BlizzCon this year. We didn't get like a big announcement, which... To be fair,
that's what we expected.
Overwatch spoiled us. I think some people were holding out because Diablo wasn't going to get any stage time. So like, ooh, we're going to get something new.
But Diablo said like a month beforehand that they weren't going to announce anything.
Right. Well, people thought that they announced that ahead of time so that there was going to be extra. There's going to be extra time in the slot that Diablo normally would have taken up for something new. And in actuality, we just got like 30 minutes worth of cinematics to sift through, right? We got the Reinhardt one. We've got the Hobbit ripoff with Hanzo versus Alexstrasza, which is totally just the battle for Dale. Let's be real. And then you had the World of Warcraft cinematic, which, in my opinion, was best awesome. WoW cinematic they've ever done. And I didn't say that about Myst, and I didn't say that about Legion. I thought they were both great. But, you know, since Deathwing, I don't think that they've had as good of... I think Deathwing was the pinnacle of their cinematic so far. Mm-hmm.
I thought Lich King was.
Well, Lich King, what? The problem I have with the Lich King cinematic is it was just... It wasn't quite as epic, right? You saw with Deathwing, you saw, like, the whole sundering thing happened, and
yeah, it had a lot more action, but the Lich King one just had that feeling.
It did. I still put Lich King up there, but I just like compared to that Mop, Siege, and Legion, I don't think hit Lich King, Deathwing cinematic stuff, Cataclysm. So,
well, didn't they have the vanilla announcement? Like, that's probably a really big deal for a lot of WoW people.
The classic servers?
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Oh, man. I have so many hypocrites in my Twitter timeline right now. People who are like, yeah, it's dumb. I don't want it. And Blizzard announced them. They're like, yes, this is everything I ever wanted.
But we don't know anything about it. And it was a very last minute, like, it was a very last minute thing. It felt like a last minute announcement. Like, in fact, I know a lot of Blizzard employees that didn't even know that that was getting announced.
Well, they even said, they're like, give us patience, please. This is a big project, but we can announce it. So, yeah. Anyways, enough about the BlizzCon specific stuff. Let's talk about Hearthstone. So we saw kobolds and catacombs. One of the big things. Not pirates, not plunder.
Marin isn't even a pirate, man. Like, we were just off the mark with that one. But we did call the legendary weapons. We did nailed call, that.
Did call legendary weapons. We did call the adventurous spirit of the expansion.
We did.
So Yeah, overall, I think we did all right. But let's talk about this big PvE announcements that we got, which was the Dungeon Run, JR.
Yeah, so this, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people. Like, on the surface, like, I don't think a lot of people were super excited about it. But after I got to play it, like, it gave me that taste of what could be. And it's like, and we didn't even, like, even though we got that taste, like, we didn't even get to see beyond that. Like, we got to see the first three bosses, which are randomized. But it gets tougher as you go through the, what is it, 8 or 9?
9, yeah.
9 different bosses, right? So, like, we got to see the first third. But basically, the idea is, and this is 100% free, you go in, you select a class, you get 10 cards for your deck, and you start out with 15 life. And you play against the AI. It's a random boss. The first boss always starts with 15 or 10 life, I believe. And they have a special hero power. And then once you beat them, then you get a passive ability that isn't in the rest of the game. So not in like the normal, it's not like a normal card. It's like a very powerful, sorry, I hit my mic. It's like a very powerful effect mm-hmm. that you can get, like,
yeah.
And then, or it could be a passive ability or a card that you draw, or no, it's just a passive ability. Sorry, I'm trying to remember everything. And
it's
then
a lot.
You get to select, yeah, and then you get to select like 3 cards or a set of 3 cards, and you get 3 different sets that you choose from. So it might be you want to go like mage, for example. You might want to go more minion based or more spell based or more secrets based. So you might get a set of 3 secrets. You might get a set of 3 low level costing minions. You might get a set of 3 fireballs even, or something like that. And then you select those, and then those get added to your deck. And then you play the next boss, which is going to be higher in difficulty than the boss you just beat. And then that cycle just continues. And you get, on the first one, I believe you get a passive ability in the set and the cards. On the second one, I believe you get like a powerful card that you get to add to your deck. Like, one of them was add like on the beginning, or no, this, that was the passive ability. I'm trying to remember what the cards do. It's been too long now. We should have talked about this right after. Anyway, you get a
There's
powerful card.
1.4 kabillion different things to memorize here, JR. I get it. It's tough.
But it was really fun because it's a deck building game. You're playing against the AI, which granted isn't the best, but we only got to play through the first 3 levels. So I'm curious to see how it goes beyond that. It might
the AI
be a lot
actually
tougher.
They said that was just the BlizzCon AI. They said that they actually made some changes to it, yeah, after that, based even on how better, it acted.
Even better. And I think it's going to surprise a lot of people, because I think people are thinking that they're going to jump in, they're going to play this once, and that's going to be it. But I feel like this has a lot more replayability than people are expecting. And I think it's going to be a mode that new players especially are going to love, for the fact that it's completely free and you don't need any kind of card collection to play it.
I thought that the point was that you could play with whatever cards you started with, whatever you wanted for the first 10. Is it in the demo, did they provide it to you?
It wasn't like that at the BlizzCon demo, so I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, it was pre-built.
Yeah.
Okay.
Decks, but I would assume that there's something there. I don't know. That one's tough. I thought you start, because I thought that they give you a deck of 10, because later on you would get these packages of cards that would augment your deck in some way, like,
yes,
charge,
yeah,
or taunt or spells or recruit, or I don't know if recruit was there,
or Ragnaros is,
or Ragnarai.
Yeah.
Ragnarai.
Yeah.
I believe that the cards it gives you is its own, and you just, like, I don't believe you pick your 10.
I think so,
yeah,
too.
It made it sound like it was predetermined already, because the way that Yongwoo talked about it just made it seem like everybody is going to be able to play it and enjoy it without any extra stuff. Like, you don't need anything extra.
So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I think just from talking to some of the Blizzard folk there, like, they said internally, they played the heck out of this. Like, they just, this was their favorite mode, and they just kept playing it and kept playing it. It was so much fun that there was a debate on, do we make this free or do we charge for it? Because they're afraid of making it free. Like, that would be the mode people play the most, and they may not go and play ranked.
I have one problem with that. One problem with that, because I will agree with you. I've had some of the most fun playing those little pre-constructed little BlizzCon demos, and I'm really excited about what we're seeing with the dungeon runs. There's one problem, though, and that is rewards.
Agreed.
I just don't know if I can, in good conscience, spend meaningful time playing a game mode that rewards me very little, if at all. I think that you can, I think you get class, you can do like class quests and spell quests and stuff there. So like you can get some quests done there, but you don't get even like 10 gold every, 10 games or whatever it is right now.
Your reward is the fun that you had while playing the game, John. Come on.
On the flip side of that, though, if that, like, if you're a new player, or even just you're like, you know, I don't want to play ranked anymore, and you just play this, just you know, see how well you can do, and there's a lot of replayability, and you just go through it. Do the rewards really matter at that point, because you're not playing the other modes, so you're not even bothering getting the rewards for the other modes?
I agree to an extent, but I also think, what, you know, I would say to that person, why are you not playing ranked anymore? If it's because everyone has better cards than me, I'm not going to go to that because I need to get my card collection up, right?
And this goes to my other, like, point of the whole Hearthstone reveal and everything. The part that I was disappointed of was because they didn't announce anything to, like, make competitive play better. So they're, like, we're feeling this, like, we're, you know, we don't like the ladder right now.
Yep.
We want tournament mode and things like that. And they didn't even announce anything like that. So if people are playing this because they're tired of ranked and the stuff going on over there that they don't like anymore, then maybe people should just start playing this. So maybe it'll incentivize Blizzard to make this other system better so people will go play it.
So I think Karel made a good point in our Discord, in the competitive discussion section, where he said that there weren't really any tournaments now that there's no Last Call tournament like there was before. There was last year, there was a tournament for Last Call where top 8 in points played to see who got a spot in BlizzCon. So there at least something to watch that had to do with HCT. But for these last couple months and the next couple months, there is actually nothing. There's no tournaments. HCT wise, World is in January. That's a long time away, at least for me. Like, for somebody who plays the game,
you got the holidays though, right?
So this whole month until Thanksgiving, there's nothing. Like, as a competitive player,
do they usually have things though? Outside of the World Championship for BlizzCon.
For BlizzCon, like, I'm not talking about BlizzCon.
What do we normally have? What did we have last year between November 10th and January 15th?
We had, like, the competitive season started in December, and we had Last Call.
So it was just like the competitive season. There wasn't really any, like, events or anything. I think probably for the reasons JR said, it was holidays and...
There were. Like, DreamHack doesn't... Like, if DreamHack's in December, DreamHack Winter, it doesn't count for points. So it's just like, what's the point? Like, nothing counts for points. There are... I mean, sure, but it's not as exciting. There's no storyline. aside from
you didn't like winning $10,000 at that last DreamHack, even if you didn't qualify for the prelims.
I mean, I really don't care about the money as much as I do the points. Like,
all right, well, when I want to just PayPal me that then. Thanks.
No. I honestly think that most people would say the same that are at the in the mindset. Like, I'm not playing in Onog to win like $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is. I'm playing in it to get the points so I can qualify for HCT. Like, that's the end goal of a competitive player. It's not to win money, it's to get to Worlds. Like,
and that's for the high-end competitive player. But let's even go lower than that. Of the reg, just someone who wants to just compete on the ladder or just try to see how high they can get. There has been no incentive after you hit legend one time as just a someone who likes to play. Like, there is no incentive after that to ever hit legend again other than you just want to.
So the other thing is that I've had some people that have actually messaged me like super excited. They're like, oh my God, I got top 100 for the first time ever. Like, how many points do I get for this and stuff? Like, and I'm just like, none. You get nothing. This is the off season. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, your achievement, I didn't actually say this like straight to their face, but in my head I was like, man, this guy is super excited that he's been doing well on the ladder, but I'm going to have to go and break his heart right now and tell him that everything he's done has been a huge waste of time. Like, Muzzy is ranked 15, non-legend. I've never seen this man not hit legend before, but these last couple months, this man has not touched, like, the ladder, because there's no point. Like, even the highest tier competitors don't care. Like, it just...
And it's not crazy. Just the highest tier competitors. It feels like people, I mean, like everyone. Me.
Yeah.
People,
yeah,
like me.
But
like,
that trickles down, too, right? When you have the people who are trying the hardest not really interested in the game, it'll trickle down to the lower level players as well.
Yeah, I mean, the only people who are really even playing the game are the streamers right now. And
and people who probably haven't hit legend yet, that's their goal. Because they want to hit legend.
True, but even they're like slightly less incentivized because they don't get the legend, like they don't get the HCT points. For some reason, a lot of people I've talked to get really excited that they get to see themselves on that HCT leaderboard, even if it says they're like ranked 2000 something in North America. Like, that is still an accomplishment to a lot of people.
I did have HCT points equals 2 in my Twitter bio for a while last year. So felt pretty good myself. But
like, as a meme, or
JR, I get what you're saying though. It's the breadth of competitive players, it's kind of weird, right? We try our best to have so many different perspectives on this show, and having just a memer like Ray sometimes makes us forget how difficult it actually is to be good at Hearthstone, because I'm like, if Ray does it, like, how bad can it be? It's hard, and there's lot of people who, you know, like, you know, JR, you've hit legend what, like 4 or 5 times?
Yeah.
And I've hit legend what, 3-4 times. And then there's people who've hit it like 10 times, and there's just, especially at that highest level, it gets kind of, you quickly realize how different the motivations for those players are. And there's a lot going on there. And like, to someone like Ray's point, it's going to be a dull couple of months. Good thing PUBG, Overwatch. There's some new stuff coming out for World of Warcraft. You've got a ton of games. Super Mario Odyssey. Rocket League's on the Switch now.
I've been playing that.
You've got a lot of things that you can do in the meantime. I mean, so I'm sure you can go play your Poke battles somewhere too if you decide to.
Dude,
that's also what I did a lot at BlizzCon. Was we played a lot of Pokemon Go.
I actually played, like, I've been playing more other games. Like, I've never not played Hearthstone. Since I've been playing Hearthstone, like, outside of maybe a couple months total, I've just grinded Hearthstone, and that's all I played. Like, I get into little stints where I play Overwatch competitively, But I've actually played Mario Odyssey. I've played a little bit of the Cuphead, like just dabbled in all those games that are super hyped just because my brother buys all those. He's a casual gamer, so I've been playing that stuff. And that's something I never do. But Hearthstone has been so boring to me that I've actually resorted to playing,
I get it,
quote-unquote, well, I mean, casual games.
You do get, so we've got the new expansion coming, most likely, slash maybe confirmed, slash maybe not, December 7th. So you've got like 2 weeks, and you've got Thanksgiving in there and stuff like that. You've got to the end of the year to kind of go, you know, play around, do some deck tests. I think if there's a time to have some dead space for competitive Hearthstone, I think November 10th through December 31st is the time to do it, especially when you put an expansion right in the middle of that with new cards.
Well, I think it's been like almost September to December. Like it's been, this month isn't the issue for me. It's been the last 2 months.
Okay. Fair like enough.
Leading up to it. It's been quite a long drought.
Well, to be fair, though, there are also new changes that will most likely be implemented at the start of next year. They might not have been announced at BlizzCon, but there will be things that are changed.
Right. I'm hopeful for next year, but I'm just really
He's just like, what do I do from now until then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Really bored waiting for it. It's just
come
like,
play PUBG with me, dude. It's fun.
My computer's not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Take up a new hobby. Learn how to yodel.
They just did a bunch of optimizations, man. Like I'm playing a version of PUBG on my new iPhone right now. Yes, I am. It's called a knife battle or something like that. It's 100 people in a battle royale game. What's it called? It's called like Knives R Us. Knives Out is what it's called. It's actually created and distributed by NetEase, owner of the Shanghai Dragons and close buddy with Blizzard. So,
oh, wait, I never told you about this. Okay. So I actually got, at BlizzCon, I got offered a lot of money by NetEase to go cast their Chinese team league. It's in like 2 weeks. I ended up declining it because I didn't know who NetEase was at first, and they gave me like one day to figure it out.
Ray, I was at BlizzCon. You should have been like, hey, JR.
Okay, this was literally this guy told me to meet him at like 11 o'clock at night, Ray, in this hotel at the Marriott, and I was like, okay.
I was at the Marriott, Ray.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of 132. This is the one that Ray didn't know what NetEase was.
Ray. Next time, be like, yo, JR, have you ever heard of so-and-so company? And I'd be like, you should do the thing because they are legit.
You should be like, I only want to do it if my casting buddy Kick Tripod does it with me.
No. Okay. I literally like had so many because they offered it to me and I was like, it was so overwhelming because I only had a day to decide because it's a big trip. It's 2 whole weeks in China. And it's like,
And you're playing so much Hearthstone right now.
No. Oh my God. But that's like a lot for me personally. Like health wise, it's like a huge toll.
I get it. Okay. Fair enough.
I'd have to miss out on Seed Story Cup. And I just like had never heard of these people before. And it was a lot. And I asked them if they would fly out my manager to come with me so I'd feel comfortable. And they said that they couldn't do that. So I was like, nope, not going to go. And that was pretty much it.
You know what? I can. Yeah, that's fine. Like, if that made you feel uncomfortable by going out alone, I'm 100% with you. Yeah.
It's like I've heard horror stories about China from like my mom
going to another country and something you're not familiar with, uncomfortable, 100% with you. I'm not.
But ask us next time, Ray.
Do ask.
Raymond.
It was something that it was like,
jeez.
My mind like couldn't comprehend it.
You were in the spot like that though, like giving you a day. Did you answer at the moment there, or did you think about it for a while?
I had to go meet him at like 11 o'clock that night. Like I figured out about it at like 2 p.m. or something. It was the night of the Twitch party, so it was like the last day. I had to leave the Twitch party early to go meet him.
I feel like you made the right choice. After describing what that was,
four of us.
I feel like you made
four of us. That was the right one. Just kidding, Ray. Jeez, relax. It's okay. You'll get plenty of opportunities.
I was an idiot for turning it down.
We need to change gears here for a second because we're getting deep into this show and we've got a lot to talk about.
I want to go back to something.
Okay, let's go back.
About the disappointment of something not getting, talking about competitive play or, not getting any other kind of announcement for ranked play. There was something in one of the QAs that does give me a little bit of hope that I didn't fully understand that they were doing. Is in December, Team 5 actually has like a hackathon thing where they will spend 2 weeks like making whatever they want. And it's usually Hearthstone related. And I feel like those 2 weeks are where they get their ideas from to expand on for the next year. So, for example, the year that we started getting Tavern Brawls probably came from that. Or look at the changes that we got with a few weeks ago where they optimized the game a little bit, where triggers happen at certain points of time.
Yeah.
That whole thing that they made. I'm assuming that might have come from that. So, makes sense. So I'm wondering if they don't
want to hack me a tournament mode
because they're so busy with the card expansions and because that's content they have to churn out 3 times a year.
Yeah.
Regardless, that's always going to happen.
Sure.
That maybe at the end of the year is when it's like, okay, we'll just go do whatever we want. And then that allows us to expand on it earlier in the year so that maybe we release this early next year or mid year. It's something they can announce at BlizzCon.
I get that. So. That's really smart and over my head.
I think that maybe with the new set, they'll announce the new ATT. Like, I want them to announce it before Worlds because it starts in January.
I think they're learning from those types of mistakes where, ambiguous rules, stuff like that. I think we'll get it. I think that's a part of their content strategy for the month of December, if I had to guess.
So yeah, they definitely need more clear rules on everything about HCT, especially like things that are really common practices in real card games, things like conceding to friends, tie, like all that kind of stuff. Like they need to have rules for that are very specific.
Yeah.
And like a known thing, like they have no rule book for the game. They have no, like Magic and everything, they have like a judge's rule book and stuff like that. Hearthstone, their only rules are show up at this time, be at this location, have your ID, and don't like wear any clothing that has something ridiculous on it, like promotes drugs or alcohol or whatever. That's like the only rules that they have. There's no don't concede to your opponent, no collusion, like nothing that is, I mean, no collusion's obvious, but like nothing that's
basic. No, part of that is just because like the client resolves so much of that. So,
I don't think it does. Not most of it has to do with tournaments. Like they didn't even know how their own tie system worked and they need like they're improving it for next year. But
I mean, they didn't even know how their own tie system in the rule book now.
No, there's not like. For points, if you get a buy, for points, for the tournament structure.
Okay. Got it.
Like, if you get like a buy in the tournament, it counts as neutral instead of a 3-0 win if you earn the buy. So, like, if you are first in points and you get a buy, you basically just get screwed over.
Yeah.
Which is really weird considering you earned it. And then, they make you drop at X3 now. And they didn't announce that. That was just something that they implemented and told players the day of.
Okay.
Wow, that's weird.
Because what happened last time was, which is partly my fault on some level, was Shoop was X3, I was X2. Shoop had no way of getting in, so he wanted to concede to me. He told his innkeeper, I want to concede. I want to go home. I don't want to play this match. It's against my friend, and I have no chance. I get nothing from winning. And what they did was they made him play it out, and they said, if you don't play to the best of your ability, you're going to get banned. And they had, like, HCT spectators observe us, and they watched him play whatever. It was really messed up. But basically, yeah, ever weird. Since then, for the next HCT, they made everybody drop at X3, and they never said anything. They just said that these are the rules now. This is what's happening, so that way the situation doesn't come up. But what happened then was the bye was effectively a bomb, because in the last round, ninth place got a bye, so they just got screwed out of a chance of getting top eight.
Sure.
So
I don't want to go too deep down into the competitive tournament win number rabbit hole here, because we have a lot to discuss. But I'm sure this will keep coming up with Ray on the show. So if they don't address it, that's for sure. Let's switch gears here a little bit. Let's talk about something that's been huge on the online gamer's mind. This last week, the EA released Battlefront 2, and with it, some pretty greedy pay-to-win systems with microtransactions that ultimately means, you know, imagine, if you will, something where to earn a hero, you have to play a game 40 hours and you have, you know, 20, 30 heroes to play. Or you can just buy a bunch of loot boxes and buy a bunch of heroes. And I think the total amount on that is like $2,100 to unlock every playable hero character.
Right, and these aren't skins, right?
Right, they're not skins, they're not cosmetic, they're directly...
They affect the game.
They affect the game, and it's already a $60 plus title. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, Hearthstone's free to play, how do they monetize their game, and are they doing it too much? It's like, hey, you already paid us $60, but that's just to be able to play this chunk of the game.
Yeah. And to put things a little bit into perspective, if you played 2 hours a day, it would take you 6 years to unlock everything in the game. Or you can just pay it up front and be done.
I mean, that's
time
like
is money.
$2,000. No, that's ridiculous. That's
yeah.
Just,
so
I actually saw this debacle.
And EA basically said in a response that has since become the most downvoted Reddit comment of all time. It's in the 600,000s now, 600,000 downvotes. Basically, they said this achievements or this unlocking system is to give players a sense of accomplishment for playing the game, which sounds great until you realize that you can pay for that same sense of accomplishment, right? It's yep. Like saying, you know, it's like imagine getting Overwatch. Right. And you get like 6 heroes at the start, and to unlock the other 20, you have to pay for them, or you can grind them out hours over hours. And it's like, you know, the people who pay for it don't want that sense of accomplishment, but the people who play it do. Like that just doesn't work. Whatever. EA, you suck, period. There's just no way around it. EA has 4 of the top 6 most downvoted comments on Reddit. And before this EA comment, the most downvoted comment on Reddit was just over 100,000 downvotes. So like 6 times the worst previous downvoted comment on Reddit. But it does bring something it affects Hearthstone in the sense that Hearthstone is a game that's completely driven by microtransactions for the most part, right? You earned in-game currency, you have a dust system, and then you have a beautiful, wonderful store where you can pay real money to play this game. And this is kind of gotten people up in arms. Some people are like, you know, the Hearthstone team is just as bad, if not worse, than EA. And other people realize that they're totally different game models, but it does get us back to the conversation of, is Hearthstone too expensive? And microtransactions too addictive that they exploit the consumer?
I think you talked about this at the World of Podcasts thingy at BlizzCon. Like, that was a question that came up, and I actually really wanted to answer that, but nobody picked on me to answer any of the questions. And I don't think that it's even similar to the EA debacle, because first of all, you didn't pay $60 to get Hearthstone. Hearthstone was free to download, and then it is also a collectible card game, so it is in line with every other game in its genre. It's not like this is a new thing for card games. Buying packs is how you get more cards. It's just how card games have been forever. Anybody who plays card games should be used to that.
There is one point that I always contest with that point, in the sense that if I decide to quit Pokemon or Magic tomorrow, I can sell that collection and, you know, gain some of my investment back, if not more than my investment, depending on the collection I have. With Hearthstone, all my entire collection is tied to me unless I want to break Blizzard terms of service and sell my account.
So the barrier to entry for Hearthstone is so much lower than any other real life card game that you're almost always probably breaking even with that logic, because you're never selling all the cards that you bought for a profit in any card game, unless you're literally buying like the first few sets of Magic or Pokemon and then holding them for 20 years and then selling them back. But you're never actually making profit.
You're lucky to even hit like 25% of your investment back.
But you're never coming close.
That's a big chunk. I've probably spent $1,200. If I decided to quit Hearthstone tomorrow to get a check for $400, $300.
But I mean,
you didn't spend your own content.
The amount of value that you got out of the free to play content as well, like all the quests and stuff like that. Like, you can be a free to play Hearthstone player.
I agree with you. The point is just saying that it's in line with every other card game in the genre. Yeah. Is a little disingenuous to me
I think what Ray is saying, though, is every, like, especially physical card games are way more expensive to get into. But that's why people aren't playing physical card games.
But they are. Like, Pokemon has grown 4 times in the last 3 years. Since I quit Magic, Magic has grown four times.
People aren't seeking out People didn't seek out Hearthstone because Pokemon scratched that itch for them. You get what I'm saying? I mean, right? Like, they're different. I play Hearthstone because I don't want to play Pokemon or Magic the Gathering. Because of what you talked about. And it's still really expensive.
I think a lot of people switch to Hearthstone from real life card games.
Because it's cheaper.
Cheaper does not mean inexpensive.
No.
That is correct, yes.
But no real hobby like this is supposed to be inexpensive, in my opinion.
Can you really justify that games are hobbies in this, like this? For the average gamer?
Yes. Games are hobbies for the majority of people.
Hobby, right? Like, somebody who has a Magic the Gathering collection more than likely is actively collecting those things, trying to stay up to date on forums, trying to stay those things. Somebody who's playing Hearthstone, my mom has Hearthstone on her phone. It's not her hobby. It is definitely not her hobby.
But she's not spending money on it.
She spent a little, I think like $20-$30.
That's fine. If it brought her
I'm glad you think it's fine. That's not what we're talking about.
No, but like, I don't think that is really relevant. Like, $20 or $30 is like, you probably got the enjoyment out of the game. Like you probably got your value's worth of money in that. For the people that are spending thousands of dollars on Hearthstone, it's definitely a hobby.
The point is that there's a large section of digital CCG players who think of the game totally different than someone who's playing Magic the Gathering or Pokemon in physical form, simply because it takes that place of a hobby. It goes from game to hobby, in my opinion. I think,
but do you not consider all gaming as a whole a hobby?
We can quibble about like what makes a hobby, like in the most broad sense. Yes, anything that you do not for money semi-consistently, I guess, is some form of a hobby. Cooking can be a hobby, and it's also something you need to do to sustain your life. I get it. But in the sense of that like same level of investment, do the number of players or percentage of players who play Hearthstone feel the same amount of investment as someone who plays Magic the Gathering? I would say unequivocally no. People are way more invested. Once you're playing Magic the Gathering or Pokemon, they're much more invested into that than a digital CCG because, number one, you don't have physical stuff. Number two, it's way more accessible. Playing a digital CCG, I think it's a totally different level or tier of hobby than, you know, just like super. By that logic, Super Mario Run is a hobby for me, and it's not like it's compared to everything else that I do. It's not. So,
mm-hmm. But I guess it depends. Like, I don't see spending $50 or something on Hearthstone as like an investment. To me, it's like if you're spending that little amount of money, I mean, that's not like a little amount of money, but if you're spending that much amount of money and you play the game for at least 10 hours total, I feel like you're probably getting your money's worth, because the actual game, like on Xbox or something, is going to be $60.
And I'd be mostly inclined to agree with you. I think you come from a very unique perspective of going, you know, it's like, imagine that you're only used to buying luxury cars, and all of a sudden, you know, Tesla comes out with a sick electric hybrid car starting at $35,000, and you're like, not a big deal. I'm used to dropping 60, you know, it's still a Tesla, right? Like, and I think that that's a little bit where I think a lot of the Hearthstone, you know, Hearthstone is probably more of a gateway drug to physical CCGs and TCGs, I think, in a lot of ways. And just because it is a free to download game on something that's on over a billion devices worldwide, and in iPhones and smartphones and tablets, and then basically every computer in the world can download it and run it. Ray can stream it, even though he can't even play PUBG. Like, I think that there's a level of accessibility to Hearthstone. And to your point, with the perspective that you have, it's inexpensive. But with the perspective of gaming, what does it take to be a competitive Hearthstone player in the sense that you have a competitive enough collection? It's $50 every expansion, unless you're playing 2 hours a day. And 2 hours a day is more than just a hobby, in my opinion. That's a pretty hefty hobby.
So, like, games like Overwatch are infinitely more cost efficient if you're looking to play a competitive game, for sure. But those games are also...
And that's not really different. It's not really like a fair comparison, because Overwatch isn't free to play.
Right. Oh yeah. Like, I'm saying, like, if you're spending like $50 or something, like if you're looking at like cost to like amount you can play, I guess like Overwatch has more value in the sense that you play $40 to get it. And Hearthstone, if you buy $50 worth of packs, like, you're not getting close to the same amount of value. Right. If you understand what I'm like saying.
And there's also a element of randomness to that value. You might get the nuts in those 50 packs and not have to buy another freaking card, you know, for the rest of the year, depending on how much you play and how much you can get by on gold. And other times, I mean, what was it once, JR, when you, Kevin, and I did a pack opening and you and I had like seven more legendaries than Kevin did over like 100 packs or something, where Kevin just got boned.
It was you guys that had way more legendaries than I did.
Yeah, I mean, it was something. I think we did one bad with Kevin and Katie got way more than Kevin and I did, and Kevin was he's like, of course you would get that card. He kept saying it over and over. So like, there's that randomness too. You don't have a guaranteed. Here's a collection, except for Adventures did supply that. They supplied that guaranteed collection.
But on the flip side of that, Hearthstone, because they expanded to those 350 card sets or
130 times three. Yeah,
I had Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Normally 350 cards. Anyway, 135 card sets, three of them, three times a year instead of, you know, once or twice a year with 25 to 30 or 50 or however many the adventure packs were. Now I lost the train of thought of what the direction I was going. They made changes to make it a little bit easier though. And in the case of you don't open, you know, five of the same stupid legendary and then you only get like a quarter of the dust you don't get the duplicate legendaries anymore. And that's something that, even though Hearthstone has gotten more expensive, if you want to be competitive, there's two different things that made it more expensive. It was more cards, and also I believe it was making legendaries a little more powerful than they've been in the past. In the terms of making two per class and having those cards be a something you needed to build a deck around. And whereas legendaries in the past, you didn't really have too much of that unless you wanted to play like Control Warrior or something like that.
I was going to say, and you're getting more free packs than ever. Quests are easier to finish than ever. You can do them with friends now. And the last two, we've gotten a free, albeit random, legendary. Last time it was quests, right? And this time
This time you just got Marin the Fox.
Well, sorry, last time. But don't you get a
Free weapon at the start of this one as well?
Yeah, you get a free legendary weapon.
So you get two free legendaries this time.
Right. Well, I mean, and Marin is, I don't know, like, there's...
That's pretty cool. Play a couple games with Marin.
Sure he is.
Marin's a really neat card to have.
Yeah, little crazed alchemist Marin action. I get it, but
so they've made some moves to kind of reduce that a little bit. Now, granted, if I look back to what I have spent through the years in Hearthstone, this year was probably the most I have spent since the first year of Hearthstone. So, and that's because of those changes. On the flip side of that, though, even though I have spent more this year in Hearthstone, when I look at the change that they made with no more duplicate legendaries this last expansion, I have spent way less this time around to have a very nearly complete collection of this set already. Way less. Like, I think I spent like $120 this expansion, and I'm only missing three legendaries. So, sure. I mean,
the no duplicates definitely helps.
Yeah, the no duplicate thing is actually pretty huge.
So now epics are going to be all the good cards.
Now you say, but JR, you're spending, $120 every expansion for three expansions. You're spending $360 a year for this game.
Yep.
Which is okay for four, especially when you count
up
4 years.
I've
easily spent over $1,500 in this game since the beginning of Hearthstone. And people would look at that and go, wow, you spent way too much for this little game to play.
Have you got haven't you gotten $15,000 worth of enjoyment out of it?
$15,000. Sorry, no.
Wow, okay. No, not $1,500.
And that's where I'm going with that. How much do I spend playing Hearthstone? Like, how much do I spend a day playing the game? And it's a lot. Yeah. Like, over the years, I've spent a lot of time playing Hearthstone because it's my favorite game. And that is time that I'm spending playing this game that I am not going out buying something else to play.
Yeah.
And it's so new, at the end of the day, if I paid $60 a game for a new game every month, it comes out to about the same.
And it's money in, enjoyment out, which I think is a big deal. Not like I need this or I can't even play it. Like, you know, up to rank 5, you can pretty much doctor with any, whatever type of deck you want if you're a competent player and have semi competitive cards. Like, there's a lot that Hearthstone does right, but there's a few things that I've thought about it, the more I don't like. Number one, I don't like the lack of guarantee on the fact that my cards are going to be competitive, because it's at the rarity level and not the card specific level. And I think that's a big ask, and I don't think they'll ever change that. But Corel, you know, we should probably just have him on the show sometimes, because he has such deep thoughts about the game. You know, says, I would love to be able to purchase some like pre-constructed decks rather than have to purchase.
That's something we've talked about in the past.
Many times, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's just, I think that there's more that they can do for the players who are willing to spend $50 an expansion. I think the free-to-play players, whatever, dudes, you're playing a game for free. Like, you're literally causing Blizzard to lose money.
Like, and you're telling everybody about it.
Yeah, like, I get the appeal.
You're not paying for the product, you are the product, though. That's what a free game is. If you're a free-to-play player, you're going in, you're free advertisement for Blizzard, like JR said. You're someone to populate the game so that the bigger whales will come in, and then the larger your game is, if you have a bunch of smaller players coming around who don't spend anything on it, you have all of the players who are free-to-play around to match up with these people so that you'll have a consistent game time. So that, like, and when I go in and queue into a game, like, I instantly get matched up. Whereas, like, if it's I'm playing like League of Legends or something like that, my queue time is going to be a lot longer.
Also, a free to play game.
Well, yes, but it's queue time. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if free to play players are the product. I think they're still a customer. I think in most thing, like, there's a lot of, like, you know, Gmail. You could say this awesome free service that you get for email is really great, but there are definitely some privacy things that you should look at before you choose Gmail. I have a Gmail because I don't email about things that I deem are important enough to have to pay for my own email provider. Big deal. But I think that there's more for the medium player, I think, is the one that gets cut out of this. The one that doesn't play hours a day, but doesn't just log on once a week, play a few games and log off. Because the person who's only playing so casually, at the end of the day, what do they bring to the game? How competitive are their decks? Is their thinking even right for the game to where if they had a full collection, they would be doing meaningfully better? And the people on the other side of it, you know, are willing, but it's like, for me, I'm like, I really struggle spending more than $75 on an expansion, just financially. It's really tough, but I think I have a good enough mind about it to where I could do it. And at the end of a collection, I'm like, wow, or at the end of an expansion, I'm like, wow, I really missed out on a lot of great cards. I missed out on a lot of great decks. And honestly, I missed out of a great time. And that's just because I don't have $400 to spend, $300 to spend on a game anymore. Combined with everything else and with everything else buying for my time, I much prefer the Overwatch model. Here's my $60. Thank you. Now give me those effing cosmetics because they're so good. But ultimately, You know me. I like to play devil's advocate here. I think Hearthstone does free-to-play model the best from a sustainable yet achievable model, right?
I think that it's like a necessary evil to have those people essentially get quote unquote cut out, especially for a card game. Like, if you look at people like Magic or whatever that go to FNM or they go to tournaments every single week and they don't have a full collection, they're literally spending money to lose. Like, they're spending money to participate and get the experience of hanging out with people and playing the game that they like, even though they're ultimately going to lose 100% of the time because they don't have the collection that the good players have.
But they still enjoyed it, and they don't feel regret in doing it.
And I feel like that's the same way for Hearthstone players a lot of the time, is that, like, they get $50 in packs, and it improves their collection to a point where they can make some things that they want to try, but it doesn't ruin their experience.
Part of that, too, is when you buy stuff at the start of the expansion and things are untested and unknown, which there is some fun elements in experimenting that on your own. But if you're playing to win, if you wait like a week or two and figure out what the really strong decks are, you can spend your money and get a top tier deck and just specifically spend for that. And I mean, you can do that in other games as well. But if you're playing just to win specifically, I feel that you can spend your money. If you spend your money wisely, you can go and just get two or three top tier decks.
I don't think those players are playing to win, though, because there's no value that you gain from winning. Like, if you only have X amount of hours to play per week and it doesn't really amount to anything, like, how much are you really playing to win? I feel like you're playing to have fun when you play, and it's fine to not have a full collection if that's your goal, is to just enjoy the game.
Well, and this kind of brings me back to something that we were talking about earlier on the show. Is this upcoming expansion, even though I am excited for the new content and the theme, like, I think the Kobolds and Catacombs theme is cool, and the idea that they're going with it is cool. I don't have a whole lot of desire to play competitively. That I'm not even sure, like, I did the pre-order. I'm not even sure I'm going to spend anything beyond that, just because I don't have a whole lot of incentive. I don't feel a whole lot of incentive play that version of the game right now.
Yeah. My last thought is this. I would not be doing a Hearthstone podcast if I didn't think that Blizzard is doing things right, especially to the level where I go to BlizzCon and I blog about it, I tweet about it and all that stuff. I think Hearthstone is a phenomenal game, but I think gaming companies in general are still searching for that medium, are still searching for that achievable yet kind of tough to grasp, and at the same time being able to pay their developers so that they can, you know, feed their families and put a roof over their kids' heads. Like, I think it's very complicated, and I think the gaming community can be very self-centered, in the sense that if you give me a free-to-play game and I can't play the most competitively for free without spending every winking moment of every day doing this, I think that you're a selfish person. I honestly do. I'm sorry. I think that you're not thinking about the big picture and what it means to be playing a product. But I also think free-to-play can be a misleading term. Sometimes it means, like, The Simpsons Tapped Out, where it's free to play, but if you don't spend money, like, your Springfield's gonna suck. I think there's, you know, other parts of it where it's like the Overwatch free to play weekend, right? Where it's just, you get the whole game, it's free, have fun, go nuts, do whatever you want. But at the end of the day, the way Blizzard makes money off of that isn't the fact that you played the game that weekend. It's the fact that afterward you had such a good time that you go and buy that game or buy it for your friend. And I think that developers need to do still have a lot of work to do on finding that right balance. That's my only thing I'm saying. I'm not saying it's too expensive. I'm not saying it's too cheap. I'm just saying right now it's unbalanced, and I don't always feel great when I log into Hearthstone because there's either decks that I know are more expensive than others and are going to be better at that rank that I'm at, or cards that I don't have that I can't be competitive with once I get to a certain rank.
But you know what is free to play?
Your mom.
What?
What?
Did you say your mom?
Your mom.
My mom is not a cheap whore.
Dungeon mode. Dungeon run. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
And you still get the fun Hearthstone experience with it.
Yeah, that's true.
Hopefully that'll quell some of the complainers on Reddit. Probably not. They'll probably still complain.
Now we can't post this episode.
You'd always complain Thanks, on Ray. Reddit.
What?
I said now we can't post this episode to Reddit. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate that. Because you're making fun of the Reddit people. They're gonna just downvote it.
They know what they are.
Yeah.
They can cry elsewhere. Anyways, man, we gotta get out of here. This is a fun show. Got a little high end here, but this is gonna be the last episode that we have before we get just this huge cascade of new cards. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys had fun. Hope you guys aren't too upset if we have opinions about what makes a good free-to-play or pay-to-play model. It's where we all have differing opinions, and I don't think that there's a right or wrong one, and everything's achievable and unachievable or something else. The important thing is there's lots of perspectives on it, and Blizzard should be trying to accommodate as many perspectives as possible. Period. Let's go ahead and get out of here. Before we get out of here, we do want to thank our Well-Met legends, The Real Ben and Karel. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you like Well-Met and you want to support, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. We've got some cool stuff, but ultimately it's just saying, hey, we really appreciate the work that you guys put out every week, and it's free for us. And we thank you. Here's a cup of coffee on me. We appreciate it. Send us your tweets to twitter.com/wellmetpodcast or join our Discord community. We have a lot of smart people in our Discord community who I'm like, dude, if you just spend some money on some podcasting gear, you could take my seat because, well, you know way more about this than I do. So discord.me/wellmetpodcast is where you can find us. And Ray, Danny, and JR are all really active there. I am too, but it's usually just memeing and posting GIFs and things like that. And 5-star iTunes reviews. If you like the show, don't really have the money or don't really want to support it monetarily, 5-star review is amazing. It helps us a lot. You can go over to iTunes, type in Well Met. You'll see us. Leave a 5-star review, leave a little comment, and we'll mispronounce your name on the show. We really appreciate it. Whew. All right. That's it for me. Let's go around the horn here with shout outs for the week and where people can find you, Danny.
All right. So for this week, I'm going to give a shout out to Breezy. Breezy is actually, I didn't mention this earlier, but control the board actually through a wild open earlier this week, and he ended up winning. I helped co-cast that event. So there's another event coming up this week. I should mention that as well. Control had an invitational, so 8 of the best wild players are going to be playing on Saturday at 1 o'clock on Control's channel. So go check that out.
Awesome.
And you can find me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS and on Twitch at DannyDonuts45.
Awesome. All right. JR, what about you?
I want to give a shout out to Martin Otako MZ and Mac Daddy Gons for still putting out this awesome meta report that we didn't talk about this week. But they've been putting them out weekly now, and they're calling it the Blizz Pro Ladder Optimizer. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Great resource for seeing what is in the, you know, what's going on in the meta, just based on the various meta reports. And it's great insight, very easy to see, and there's a whole lot of deck lists on there that you can grab and use to see how fast you can go on the ladder. I highly recommend you check it out, and I wanted to give a shout out to them because it's great work. As far as me, follow me over on Twitter at Aldorian. Also, I'm going to be streaming this weekend.
Yeah, right. Friday.
No, I am totally Friday and possibly Saturday with Balrog fan Charlie. And we're going to be doing our extra live stream. So we're going to raise money for children. And you can find that over, probably at twitch.tv/EldorianBP.
Cool. Awesome. Make sure to check that out. We'll definitely retweet it, post it in our Discord and stuff so you guys can make sure to check that out.
We'll probably play some Hearthstone, play some Friday the 13th, the game, play some Cuphead, various games like that. We're just going to get silly and hopefully we can raise $1,000. If we don't hit it this weekend, we're going to just continue streaming probably through December.
Cool.
So,
Every
Friday or Saturday.
Cool. Awesome. Make sure to check that out. As for me, you can find me everywhere at KickTripod, twitch.tv/KickTripod, twitter.com/KickTripod. And a little premature, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm launching a new project in the next 7 days. It's going to be called Overwatch League Daily. That's right. It's going to be a new Overwatch League show that actually is going to be posted daily, 10 minutes long, maybe 15 on really stacked days. ESPN radio style stuff. So if you're wanting to get kind of all caught up with Overwatch League, but you don't necessarily have the time to watch all the games, read all the stuff, it'll be your one-stop shop. I'm really excited about it. I've got some awesome contributors there. You'll get scores, news, opinions from like opinion leaders in Overwatch. It's going to be really cool. So stay tuned on my Twitter for that. That's twitter.com/kicktripod. That's going to do it for us for episode 132. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us live Mondays, 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/blizzpro. Find us on our Discord, Twitter. Email us wellmet@blizzpro.com with your thoughts, ideas, questions, comments about the show. And yeah, big thanks to Jake Butno for our music. Our music is so good. It's why people keep doing that. And then Ray... shoutouts for the week. Where can people find you? Because I totally forgot. Totally forgot. Thought you went already.
You definitely forgot. I'm just throwing that out there. That's all good. You can follow me on Twitter. G_Racy. Twitch, Racy591. Shout out to everyone I met at BlizzCon. They were all awesome. And I love each and every one of you.
Cool. All right, thanks for that.
I have one more thing I want to say.
Okay.
It's a complaint. Dear Team 5, iPhone X, please, like, use the full screen on this thing.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah, those apps look really bad on the iPhone X that aren't optimized. So, I'm with you, man. All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week. Bye.